Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 325 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Kelly Booze.
I love it. Thank you, Kelly.
We won't boo you. We're going to cheer. Woo, Kelly. That's an adorable name.
It is cute. All right. Today, we will be discussing part one of chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, A Place to Hide. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to sneak your way through the details.
Cute.
Hide. Sneak.
I like it.
You know.
Sneaky snake.
Snake. Shame.
What?
For recap.
I was like, where's this going?
I don't know. Sometimes people have to say things a certain way so I can get an idea for what I want to do.
I get it.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's genuinely a lot.
I know. I understand. It's okay. It's
coming up with a way to say recap is a lot of pressure.
It is. And that's why sometimes I'll just yell recap. Because I panic.
Oh my God.
Recap. Doge and Muriel duke it out over Dumbledore's secrets.
Oh.
Harry's left feeling like he hardly knew Dumbledore at all. He doesn't have the chance to think on it much because a message arrives at the wedding from Kingsley. Should I read it again?
Yes. Yeah.
The ministry has fallen. Ooh. Scrimgeour is dead. They are coming.
Dead as a doornail.
And then the link said meow and disappeared.
Did you hear her?
Yes.
There's a doornail.
He just kept going. Just no reaction to me anymore.
Oh, are we pouring one out for him?
Yeah, we should pour
one
out.
No, not right now.
Okay.
We're still mad at him.
Okay. That's valid.
We can pour one out when we find out that he was tortured.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
Because we also don't have beverages.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't prepare for that.
I have a beer of the
root. We're not ready yet.
Kind.
I had black cherry pop.
Oh.
But
I have water. You can't toast with water.
I drank
it's
it
bad
all.
Bad luck.
So I have nothing.
No, we'll do that when they're at Grimmauld Place. And then Harry and Lupin have their big fight.
There we go.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Okay, it's time for a summary.
Please.
The trio is now on the run. They're in Tottenham Court. And Hermione has it all in her little beaded bag. I said the inflections wrong on that, but
inflections.
I even said it wrong there too, but y'all know what I mean. So they head into a cafe, but they say Voldemort. So Death Eaters show up. They wipe their memories, put the cafe back in order, and then they're off to find someplace safe.
A place to hide.
Yeah.
That's what the chapter's called.
Oh.
What?
I don't know. I just.
You just.
You sang.
You just like real into that.
A just came passionate.
I thought this, you were going to keep going. I was like, okay.
It's this root beer.
Yes, it is the root beer.
Is that your sarsaparilla?
Is that my sarsaparilla? Sound like you belong on Sheriff Cali.
It's flavor with other natural flavors.
I belong
utter flavor.
Utter flavor.
I belong in the Carousel of Progress.
No.
We're drinking root beer now. Used to be called sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
Do you think it'll change again? What'll it be called?
Remember when I sneezed and you told me to shut up?
Yeah, you interrupted the show.
Blessed me. Oh, I'm sorry.
They were singing Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. Yeah.
I just don't remember the words. I need to hear it again.
It's great big beautiful tomorrow. Shining at the end of every day.
There's a rap version of that.
Have you ever played
it?
There is.
No, it's amazing.
I'm going to play it for you later.
It's incredible.
I can't wait.
I'm going to make a note so I don't
fall
forget.
Fall asleep to it.
Oh, God.
We have a bingo.
Maybe. Ayo. Are you serious?
Yeah, I told them to keep it from the last
episode. Oh, I was. We're like, what?
What are they?
Mia's gonna check it because I know she's on it. She's on it. Daggone it.
Like Donkey Kong.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Okay. So, let's talk about this. They are coming. Everything is fuzzy and slow. It's, remember when that car, like, spun out and I almost T-boned them a few weeks ago? Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Everything felt very slow.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
That happened to me before.
This kind of reminds me of that. So, like, it's panic. It's mm-hmm. a serious situation, but everything's kind of moving slowly to Harry. He and Hermione draw their wands. They're ready to fight. Some people are only just realizing that something was wrong and that, like, a Patronus was talking in the room, which I'm sure many of them have never seen in their lives.
Yep.
And as heads turned towards the silver cat, it vanishes. So it's like they're just too late. The reaction was just a little bit too slow. And there's a cold silence that kind of ripples across the entire wedding. And then out of nowhere, someone screams. And that is a sickening line to read. And it just really creeps me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it.
Yes. And so the crowd starts to go full on panic. It splits and guests are disapparating. And they're able to do this because the protection spells were broken at this point. Because the ministry had fallen. We're getting rid of your protection. You know, we can do whatever we want now. And so they're disapparating. People are running. They're being hustled and bustled around. Hermione is screaming for Ron. And I, like, feel this in my soul. And he and Hermione are pushing their way across the dance floor. And Harry sees Death Eater starting to appear in the crowd. He sees Lupin and Tonks. And they start casting Protego. Hermione is half sobbing, half screaming for Ron. And Harry ends up grabbing her hand, which is great. Because they need this in a couple of seconds to separate out, and lights from spells are whizzing by. They're still being pushed around by other guests who are trying to escape, and the panic of this makes my chest feel tight. Like,
it's pandemonium.
People don't think
yeah
you could get crushed in this, wizard or not, doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know, you can get knocked over. Are there children there? You know, we don't know all of what's going on, only what Harry can see and thinks to tell us in the pages. And I love this line. And it says, Harry seized her hand to make sure that they weren't separated as a streak of light whizzed over their head. Whether a protective charm or something more sinister, he did not know. I love that line. And I find that to be interesting. He doesn't note the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know a lot, oftentimes, like, red
is bad.
Green.
Bad.
Super bad.
Mm-hmm.
Super bad.
Red's usually, like, a jinx, I would say.
Yeah. So, like, I'm mm-hmm. not sure.
Green's like a hex or.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. he doesn't note that when he's telling us what he knows. So, these are kind of unknown. We hear Protego, but we don't hear anything else. And then all of a sudden Ron is there, right? And he grabs Hermione and they go. Harry felt her turn on the spot. Sight and sound were extinguished as darkness pressed in upon him. All he could feel was Hermione's hand as he was squeezed through space and time, away from the burrow, away from the descending Death Eaters, away from perhaps Voldemort himself.
I just like can't even imagine the panic of not knowing what's going on with your loved ones in a place that you just left.
I know. And Harry wants to be like, let's go back. Obviously, they cannot.
And that's why Ron like pops off.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I know Ron is a little
not
hot.
Not even talking about when we're camping, you know? Like, even then, like, he doesn't know.
Like, those people mean just as much to Harry as they do to him, but Ron is just in a moment where he doesn't want to hear that.
I'll let you have your moment, Ron.
He's also dealing with the Horcrux connection. You know?
The Horcrux connection.
Anyways, they land, and Ron's like, where are we? And they are on Tottenham Court Road. Tottenham Court Road.
I don't know why, like, I always want to say that, like that.
Tottenham.
Tottenham.
It's like a very good,
it's
like,
a real spot.
British name for a.
It's area. A real road.
Yeah.
It's real road, man.
It's real road.
Real road. ain't made up. And some Hermione.
Do you remember Tottenham Court Road? That we drove through it.
Probably.
On a bus. Hmm.
A boost?
Big old red double decker.
A boost.
A boost.
So Hermione's like, walk. We need to move.
Walk.
And we need to find somewhere for you to change. So she looks fine. Normal. Muggle-ish, right? Yeah. The boys, not so much, because they're in dress robes. And so Harry did as she was asked. They half walked and they half ran up the street. There's late night revelers out and about. Getting saucy. Merry pub goers are ogling them as they pass. And Ron's like, we have nothing. What are you talking about to change into? And Harry's like, why didn't I have the invisibility cloak? I've been having it on all last year. And she's like, I got the cloak. I got your clothes. You're fine. And she's like, just trying to be natural.
Do without her
nothing, they would be dead.
Yeah,
book one.
Oh my god.
So she leads them down a side street and he's like, wait a minute, when you say you have cloak and clothes, and she's like, my small beaded handbag, which you can actually purchase, mm-hmm. and I can't tell you if it works or not, she's like, yes, they're in here. Like, It almost feels like she's a little bit exasperated with them. Like, yes, we have magic. Why are you shocked that I can fit stuff in this small bag? Like, just say yes and it's fine. And so Ron says, quote, how the ruddy hell? Undetectable extension charm. Tricky, but I think I've done it okay. Anyway, I managed to fit everything we need in here. And so... The bag, I guess, looks fragile in Harry's opinion. And she gives it a tiny bit of a shake. And it sounds like a number of heavy objects like rolled around inside. And I love this line. Quote, oh, damn, that'll be the books. And she's like peering into it. I had them all stacked by subject. So Harry's got his cloak now. And Ron needs to hurry up and change. And... Harry's like, when did you do this? And she's like, literally told you that I've had the essentials packed for weeks. Like, what don't you get about this? Because she knows.
Yeah,
because
she says that she's just like waiting on like clean socks and underwear or something, right?
Yeah.
She like, says that like yesterday, their time, I think. Doesn't she?
Something really close to that.
Yeah.
Because she just has a feeling that they might have to make a quick getaway, which that's just smart planning. During this time,
do you want to know what Harry has packed? Harry has an old shard of mirror, the Marauder's map,
not at Hogwarts,
and an old snitch. And that's literally Tiffany, it.
First of all, you're not wrong, but I would like to point out that one is a Hallow.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The locket.
One saves the.
No, the Hollow.
The Hollow. Yeah, is the snitch, stone. That's right. But he does also have a locket
fake,
that is
fake
nothing.
Locket, yeah.
That's meaningful for Creature because he comes back and leaves the house elves with their little butcher knives.
Tips popping off.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying they're not important. And I'm just little... saying they would not keep him alive while camping.
And he spies on Ginny to keep morale up. Okay. Yeah.
And the little slash Amir.
I said forth. It saves their A-double snakes.
It does save.
And so Ron is like, you're amazing, you are. She's like, thank you. Is that from the book? Is that general thanks in the book? Is that going to get you somewhere, Ronald?
Or is it just real?
Gosh. Okay. So they're automatically thinking about everybody else that they left behind. And rightfully so. But Hermione has kind of the same mindset as the Order. Like, she's really been ready for this. She says, we can't worry about that now. It's you they're after, Harry. We'll just put everyone else in danger by going back.
Which is super true.
And I said, from Hagrid to Hermione, it's got to be Harry Potter first, because that's how we're going to end everything. So he's thinking about Ginny being back there, and they're trying to talk themselves into the fact that most of the Order that is there, it's going to be okay. That's not true at all, though. I mean,
they have to tell themselves in the moment.
Right. No one dies, but people do get tortured because of this break and the ministry falling. I think Tonks' parents do get tortured.
Yep.
And the thought of Ginny, like, made fear, like, bubble up like acid in his stomach. And I'm no being that panicked. I know that feeling. And Ron's like, why this street? And she's like, I don't know. I just figured that we would be safer in the Muggle world rather than wizarding. And
what?
That's a good thought.
What? Why are you looking at me? She's giving me a weird look.
What is happening?
Nothing.
Now you purposefully won't look at her.
She like looks a little conspicuous right now, doesn't she?
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you up to?
Well, Tiff is reading Meg's part.
Oh. Yeah, she is.
But she's doing a great job. And Meg didn't say anything.
I didn't even notice.
Well, where did you start?
Harry threw the invisibility cloak around himself.
Oh, man, I was way into your part. Well, I'll go ahead.
All right.
I'm all done.
Well.
Hey.
Okay, the thought of Ginny. Fear.
Sorry. I made that awkward acid. Like I do everything else.
You know
what?
Yeah,
why didn't you just say something?
No, listen,
because that's what I do.
I heard you say the part about like Ginny and the fear, and I was like, oh, well, maybe she's just like generally talking about like that feeling he had. And then you started talking about like safe from the Muggle world, and I was literally thinking, I was like, wait.
And that's what happens when you don't do your notes, Kev.
You were doing a fantastic job.
Well, thanks. And you can just, you know.
You guys got a lot of tiff today.
Like
so men started wolf whistling at Hermione, and
gross.
Like, this is so gross. And actually, this happened to us in London, and it's literally never happened to me anywhere else but London. Isn't that like interesting?
Yeah, that was not great.
It was gross, and it was going to Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Wolf whistles?
Yeah.
They were very intoxicated.
Yeah.
Not that that's an excuse.
They were, like, literally peeing on a wall in a hall, in a, like,
I've experienced some undesirable wolf whistling in my time.
So.
Yep.
She said that they had nowhere else to go. Like, they can't go to the Leaky Cauldron.
That's in London.
They can't go to Grimald Place. And she was like, well, maybe my parents' house, but there's a chance that they'll check there. I think that they
look at the paws.
I think
that's
that they
Squeaky
definitely
McGee.
That's a really cute cat. Sorry.
Sorry guys. My happening? Sister sent me a picture of Squeaky McGee. Can I tell a really quick story?
Yeah.
We can go back to your part so you can start over, because this is kind of rude of me. But I meant to tell you last night. She meowed at the bedroom window. Ashley let her in. She came in, attacked Ashley's feet. And then meowed to get out.
She had an
like
agenda.
Spent minutes just beating the tar out of Ashley's feet and like like crazy cat stuff. And then was like,
she had the frisk.
Squeaky McGee.
She knew what she wanted to do.
Yeah,
she did it.
She's
she
a professional biscuit maker
out.
Too.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Back to Harry Potter.
I do think that they would have gone to Hermione's house pretty quickly, so I think that was probably a good call on them to not go there. So they hurry into this cafe to get away from, like, the gross men. And Hermione is just, as she should be, paranoid. She keeps checking over her shoulder. Harry didn't like that they were suddenly stationary because to him, like, walking was giving him the illusion that they had a goal.
I understand that.
And I, like, I don't know why, when I was reading this again, I, like, forgot that he was under the invisibility cloak, because that doesn't happen in the movie, you know?
No, he's just straight up Harry.
Yeah. So the Polyjuice potion is, like, bubbling away. It's, like, wearing off. And he's becoming himself again underneath the cloak. And Ron again suggests going to the Leaky Cauldron. And Hermione, like, interjects and is Ron, we can't.
He wants to be comfortable.
I know. And he... I do understand, because he's like, well, maybe we can get information, though. Like, I'm not saying we can stay there, but maybe we can, like, go scope it. I'm like, no.
No.
You,
like,
can't.
Like, the thought of that is just absolutely wild to me.
I know. He just, yeah, he just wants. Yeah.
I get wanting it somewhere. To be okay and wanting to be comfortable and where you feel comfortable, but.
But you're not going to get any good info.
No, they're not going to get stationed everywhere.
You're not going to get any info that's going to make you feel any better right now.
No.
So it's really not worth it. And Hermione, I didn't realize Hermione was the one to break the taboo here, but she says, Voldemort's taken over the ministry. What else do we need to know?
Way to go, Herm.
And how freaking fast.
I said taboo alert.
Is that reaction, though? She literally says that the next line of the book.
I said that fast. Yeah. I wrote that in my book.
She's ordering two cappuccinos when a waitress comes over, and then a pair of burly workmen enter the cafe and squeeze into the booth next to them. Those are the Death Eaters.
Interesting how they're dressed, too.
Right? Like, they want to blend in. It's almost kind of weird. Like, why do they even want to, like, have a moment to blend in? Like, why not just, like, boom, get them? You know what I mean?
Why do they care?
I don't know. I guess they don't know who broke taboo.
I guess they don't know who it is, yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of have to
suss it out.
Yeah.
Interesting. But it's so fast.
It is fast.
It's so fast. So then she whispers to, it looks like, just Ron, right? But it's Ron and Harry. I say we find a quiet place to disapparate and head for the countryside. Once we're there, we could send a message to the order. And this is when we find out that she has been practicing the talking Patronus thing.
Her little otter.
Right? So cute.
Messengers.
Yeah. In Crescent City, the little otters.
It's not a spoiler, it's just a fun thing.
Yeah.
So, this just makes me giggle. Ron takes a sip of the coffee and thinks that it's gross. Of course he does.
Well, at least it is gray.
I know, I'm like...
That's not right.
That doesn't sound right.
Gray coffee? I drink a lot of cappuccinos, and I'm pretty sure that milk should not be gray.
So, they're like, you know, he says they should leave, and he asks Hermione if she has muggle money to pay for this. And she says, yes, that she took out all of her building society savings before coming to the borough. And I said, WTF is that?
I wondered the same thing and hope someone would look it up.
I had no idea.
It's just a savings account.
It is, but it is like specific to the UK, though. Mm. So Nerd Wallet tells me.
Oh, well, you know.
Building societies are mutual organizations, which means they are owned by their customers. They offer current and savings accounts and mortgages so they can be an alternative option to a traditional bank. I still don't really know what that means, but, you know, more power to her. Sounds great. She seems responsible with her money.
Right?
Though I feel like it's probably something that her, like, dad set up for her. You know what I mean?
Probably. Where'd she get money from?
Her dad. I can't, unless she, you know, was 16 working at a yogurt shop like Joe Alwyn.
Amazing.
Anyway,
to make a little money.
God, okay. So the two workmen make identical movements. And Harry mirrors them without even thinking. It's just like, it's like unconscious. You know, he just does it. He sees them move.
Amazing.
And he matches. Which, you know, good
That's
teacher,
what you want.
Right?
Yeah.
That he should have he should have become a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I stand by that. So all three of them draw their wands. Ron, a few seconds late in realizing what was going on. This is a quote from the book, by the way. Lunged across the table, pushing Hermione sideways onto her bench.
I love him.
The force of the Death Eater's spells shattered the tiled wall where Ron's head had just been as Harry, still invisible, yelled, stupefy.
I think something that we forget about as reading these spells is that everything is kind of like internal damage. Like, it's hard sometimes, especially with Avada. Nothing physically is wrong.
Yeah.
You're just dead, right?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, like, your heart stops and all that jazz. Anyways, nothing on the outside.
And all that jazz.
And all that jazz. But, like, not to be real gross, and I apologize, but this is where we're at. But, like, his head would have been blown off, right?
I guess it depends on the spell, right?
But it exploded the tile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It couldn't have ended well, I would assume.
Because we don't see a whole lot of, like, outward physical damage from spells. Like,
yeah, a lot of it's, like, spell damage.
Yeah, I feel like the most we see is, like, an order at the ministry.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But that's even then.
That's such a good battle scene.
Yeah, like, but even then, like, Neville's legs are almost comical.
And a lot Ginny's of it is, like,
knocked out. Like, yeah, you know,
it's like utilizing things around them to actually do damage more than actual spells too. Like,
yeah,
you know, like the brains, right? Or yeah, like the orbs or some, like the orbs, like flying around, like causing damage. It's not even necessarily always the spell itself.
Yeah. But like, as far as like cuts and gashes, yeah, and stuff, we don't see on page a whole lot of that.
Except
but
Draco,
like,
in the bathroom.
Right. Like, that was some of the most graphic that we've seen.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting to me, like, what,
like, was that Bombarda? Like, what spell was that that he shot at him?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, like, we've got other people that are, like, Expulso is another one that was hit, and then, a table blew up, so, like, that.
Mm-hmm. Unless, like, Stupefy does that to inanimate objects, maybe? That's the only thing I can think of, maybe.
I just feel like we see that a lot.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, the physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why are we yelling spells? At this point, we need to be using nonverbal. People don't need to know what's coming their way.
Harry just likes to say spells.
I hate it.
One, like, spell.
I literally hate it.
I know.
I hate it, like, when any grown person says them out loud unless they're teaching a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I just feel like,
well, because
at this,
like,
point, I want you to be more calculative with the way that you're fighting.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't know. That's just me.
Well, because Hermione's there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Hermione can shoot spells without saying them.
Yeah.
Thank God for the invisibility cloak, though, because that stupefy that he yells does, in fact, hit the guy in the face. I can't remember who exactly it is. I think it's Dawlish.
I think Dawlish? It's Thorfinn.
Oh, Thorfinn.
Thorfinn, Rowl.
Rowl. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, he hits Rowl first. The other Death Eater binds Ron from head to foot with black rope. And Harry then shoots another stunning spell, but it's missed by the other Death Eater, and it hits the window, rebounds off the window, and hits the waitress.
No, see, so then Stupefy must just bounce around.
Yeah.
So who knows?
So who knows what that spell was, because that rebounded, which was interesting, because, like, you would think, yeah, it would have, like, shattered the glass or something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyway, Katie, it's your turn.
So then that Death Eater that's still standing throws Expulso, says it out loud.
Hate it.
And it made the table behind Harry blow up.
So I wonder if that was what was thrown before, but it just wasn't said.
Maybe.
Expulso.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to aim that at someone's head?
course, they're Death Eaters. They're,
they yeah, don't even, I know, but, yeah. like, they don't even know who these people are. You think that they're smart enough to know that that's Ron for sure? I don't
know. Ron seems to be really, high up.
I guess.
And Dolohov. It's those two. Right now. They're unhinged.
Ugh, Dolohov.
They're just literally, like, these two Death Eaters in particular are out for blood.
Yeah, they said Voldemort, they're hyped up on Ministry Fallen, right? They just did this. Yeah. So we're going to kill everybody that's on that side right now that says this name.
It's just interesting, too, because I feel like a lot of the times, at least in, like, other books and stuff that I've read, like, you want to question people, right?
Right.
You want to get information from whoever you're going after, usually. But I guess maybe they're just, you know, yeah, they're a little bit.
Bring me Harry Potter, kill his friends, the more the better.
They're attack happy right now. I think that's a quote
from Voldemort. Mm.
That tracks.
But if they can't see Harry, you would think, oh, well, maybe they can tell me where Harry is. Just weird.
I don't know.
It's extreme.
I don't know.
Maybe they don't know who they are.
Maybe.
Table blows up. Harry goes flying into a wall. Drops his wand and the cloak slips off all at once. Triple oops. Hermione hits that Death Eater with Petrificus Totalus and he fell like a statue with a crunching thud. Oh, that's
shout out to one. And why are you yelling a spell?
She screamed it. Also, that's a mouthful. Just say it in your head.
I know.
That's a lot.
I know.
By the time you get through a fourth of it, they know what you're trying to do already. You can block it. Anyway, so Hermione goes to get Ron out of the ropes with Defendo, accidentally slashes open his knee. Oops, because she's nervous and shaking, and but she does free him eventually. So when the chaos is over, they come back together, and Harry is thinking, I should have recognized one of those Death Eaters. He was there the night that Dumbledore died. Mm-hmm. Ron knows them both from some old wanted posters, so the one Harry recognizes is Dolohov. And then the other one is Thorfinn Rowell. I think it's interesting that they just call him Dolohov, but then Thorfinn has, like, his first and last name. Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
She wants us to know that.
Maybe.
What's Thorfinn mean?
Thorfinn.
Sounds like a fish.
It does. So Hermione is like, who cares what they're called? Like, how did they find us and what are we going to do? They don't know it yet, but Voldemort is taboo now for sure. So Ron's like, what are we going to do with these two? Like, do we kill them? They would do it to us. And Harry's like, no, like, we'll just wipe their memories. That would be best. None of them have ever done a memory charm before. Hermione's never even done it, but she knows the theory and it works because she's BA.
I still, like, don't fully comprehend how she can do that, but not change her parents. So, but, like, know how to change her parents' memories.
Yeah, they've got to be different things because I thought about that too. Like, obliviate is wiping.
Yeah.
What she did was create differences.
Which I would think would be harder.
But they're different. But I mean, just because you know how to do one hard thing
doesn't mean you can do all hard things.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that was deep, guys.
You're welcome. Also, I was thinking about this moment and the way that Ron goes from dropping his voice to saying kill them, they'd kill us, they had a good go just now, and that's real wartime.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione shudders and takes a step back. Harry is the one that has to think through this, because at the end of the day he's kind of the one that's in charge of making these types of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Ron is profoundly relieved to hear that Harry doesn't want to kill these guys. And I just thought that this moment was very, like, it's their first of many in this real-time battle, this war outside of Dumbledore, outside of Hogwarts, outside of those teachers being on his side, this raw, real, pure moment and interaction with them in this real situation with nobody else's input but them. These three, right? And it just shows you their age for sure. Because who's to say what somebody else in the order would have done? Is there a right answer?
if we go back to the conversation that Harry and Remus had after the Battle of the Seven Potters, and he was telling him, like, he's basically saying you were a fool for not aiming to kill. Like, this is war. And Harry still holds on to, like, what Harry believes.
If you go... Now. Yeah, and if you go through the what-ifs, isn't Dolohov the one that kills Lupin? Harry could have killed him now.
Yeah.
It's all bad, bad vibes.
There's no right answer. I mean, I think the right answer is to not take human life. But, like, there's, like, all the paths align to where they align and, like, you know?
Yeah.
Sucks.
Do we want to know Thorfinn's etymology?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
It's a Norse name and may refer to Thorfinn the Mighty, which is an 11th century Earl of Orkney. He's described as unusually tall and strong, a forceful man greedy for fame and fortune. He did well in battle, for he was both a good tactician and full of courage. It may also link with Thor, god of thunder, Viking god of thunder, mighty warrior of massive physical stature.
He is described, both of them are described as like
big,
huge guys.
Yeah.
Huge.
Tracks of land.
If anybody gets that, please write me a message.
As me and
please, if anybody gets that, please, please say you understand.
Your buddy Mike said yes.
Mike said yes.
Oh, nice. I feel like Mike gets a lot of what Tiffany says.
Yeah, agreed.
And then he relates to me with SpongeBob stuff. All right. So Harry's like, okay, can you take care of the other Death Eater? Can you take care of the waitress? Like, obliviate them both. Me and Ron are going to clean up. And Ron, like, always wanting to avoid a chore, is like, clean up? Why? And Harry's like, don't you think it'd be weird if these two wake up and it looks like a bomb hit the place? Ron, like, you should probably make it look clean. Convincing, right?
Ever.
He's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. So let's have some humor after a tense moment.
Yes, please.
So Ron struggles for a minute before he's able to get his wand from his pocket. And he says, it's no wonder I can't get it out, Hermione. You packed my old jeans. They're tight.
I love the way Jim Dale says this. He goes, they're tight.
Oh, I'm so sorry, hissed Hermione. And as she dragged the waitress out of sight of the windows, Harry heard her mutter a suggestion as to where Ron could stick his wand instead.
I love that small bit of normalcy in this moment.
Yeah.
Truly. So once the cafe's all put back together, they're trying to figure out how they were found. And Hermione's the one that says, do you think you still have the trace on you? And Ron's like, no, it's wizarding law. You can't put that on an adult. And to Hermione's credit, she's like, as far as you know, like, what if the Death Eaters found out a way to put it on a 17-year-old? I mean, they just took down the ministry.
Yeah,
I'd probably be thinking the same thing.
Because, like, isn't that, like, law? Mm-hmm. Like, if you have laws surrounding, like, what types of protective magic and blah, 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 and all that's broken at the borough now.
Right.
Yeah, like, why couldn't that be broken, too, or changed?
Who's to say?
Yeah, what Mia said. Wizarding law ain't nothing no more. You know, like, it's just...
Wizarding law, what's that?
What's that?
Jake, do you have any Coke? You want my empty root beer?
No, it's not
a
Coke.
No, it's not.
It's true.
It's not a Disney Coke.
It's a stubborn soda. Anyway.
Okay.
It
does
is.
It say that?
Yeah, it's the brand name. The
brand.
Okay.
Crafted the stubborn way.
What does that mean?
It's good to be stubborn. High quality. No shortcuts.
Okay.
They don't sponsor us.
No.
They don't.
KDO's teeth.
Yeah, whatever.
Can you not tell us apart?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah. Also, Meg owes me for earlier. Forgot to put
that's
in the
true.
Chat.
That dinner
thanks
time.
For backing me.
Mm-hmm. Can't lie your way out of this one. Skank.
It's okay. I'll earn him back slowly. That's how we roll.
All at Disney World.
Harry, I don't know how to bring it back to this, so I'm just gonna do it. Harry describes feeling like contaminated. Like,
I hate that for
him.
Yeah,
he's like, he of course goes to suggest splitting up because he's like, if I can't use magic and you can't use magic near me because of this trace, and Hermione puts a stop to that right away. She's like, no sir, don't think so. So they need to find a safe place to hide to buy some time. Harry immediately suggests Grimmauld Place, and Hermione's like, we just talked Snape about can this. Get in there. Right, yeah, we just talked about this. It's not a good idea. Snape can get Snape can get in there. End of this part.
Okay. There were a couple good questions. Let's see. I like this one. Katie K asks, what's your small coffee shop coffee order? Definitely not a gray cappuccino, I'll tell you that.
Like a regular cappuccino?
No, unless it tastes like the gray stuff.
That'd be cool.
It's delicious.
It is. Ask the dishes.
I do order cappuccinos at places because I can usually get like a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other people's cold brew, I'm like, sometimes it's a little bit much.
Cold brew is touchy.
And you don't want hot snakes and bubble gut when you're out.
True. No. Mm. I have multiple answers for this. Sorry. If there's a good seasonal drink that sounds good, I'm going for that.
Mm-hmm. But never strawberry.
Never strawberry. Nobody does it right.
No, it's nobody, always bad.
It's always terrible.
Anytime there's any type of strawberry flavored latte beverage, it's bad.
That sounds horrible, period. It could be great.
Could be good if they did
no
it
one
right.
does it right. Have you ever had a good one?
No.
Okay, then I don't believe you.
I feel like I could do it right.
Well, go knock yourself out.
I'll try with my espresso machine.
I think TJ Maxx has strawberry flavoring, but it might be sugar-free.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a flavor. I don't want it to be sugar-free.
No, I'm not doing this because of the sugar. Mm-mm. If they offer hazelnut, I would like that. But like the default, if nothing else, is just the vanilla latte. See how it tastes. Like if I'm going to a new shop. Mm. But it's usually a seasonal beverage.
Okay. Vanilla latte with oat milk.
Or iced, honey cinnamon?
Usually. Or honey cinnamon iced is really good. Yeah.
Oh, I always go hot.
Nikki, first thing that pops into your head, where are you apparating to?
Epcot.
I'm walking right down the middle of Main Street, USA.
I'm holding your hand down the middle of Main Street, USA. And I'm probably so flustered that I'm gonna roll my ankle.
I'm all by myself at Epcot.
Well, I don't know. I just my first thing popped in my head.
Safe
was
at that
Street.
Castle.
Okay.
But trust me, freaking love Epcot.
Mm. I'll take the monorail over.
There you go. You can join us, or we could take the monorail to you. Either way.
Mm-hmm.
In this very hypothetical situation, me, because y'all really said, don't care. I'm getting all these Muggles killed. It's my case. You know what?
That's what Harry, Ron, and Hermione did too, okay?
Yeah, they went to a muggly area.
Yeah, they said that it was busy. There were like people going to shows and stuff like that.
I am going to pop myself in that people mover, and then I'm going to hop out inside Space Mountain.
And hide. In the dark.
Yep.
Last one is from Mike. What was your favorite or weirdest job you had as a kid or teenager? I was a prep cook at a summer resort.
I decorated cakes in the Kroger bakery.
Dude, that's cool.
That's cool.
I only had one job as like a teenager kid.
Cashier at Mark's.
Cashier. Mark's is basically like
where I'm at
you
Percy.
Work there for, as a rite of passage.
Well, in college.
The biggest finger I've ever seen.
In college, you like did inventory for one of the cafeterias.
Oh, yeah, that's true. My God. I worked at the bookstore for like a minute and then I kept like trying to reduce my hours. And she was like, do you really want to work here? And I was like, no.
You would call off and you would go home on Fridays. Do you remember that?
I would like, call off all the
time on
Friday.
I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I got so many sweatshirts for a discount for like 2 weeks. I like all I bought were like hoodies. And then I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Okay, I'm done.
I had a job for about 2 days at a call center, and it was the worst job of my life.
Ew. Yeah, that sounded pretty terrible.
They would like listen to your conversation and then like yell at you after every conversation about what you did wrong.
Yeah, they would listen.
You had to like ask alumni for money.
Oh, ew, that's
I
gross.
I hated it.
Yeah. Did you just like not go back?
Yeah, I just stopped going.
I love that for you.
Yeah, I worked at like the school cafeteria. I went from a randomly picked dishwasher, but it was okay because you were by yourself and that was pretty chill. Then Meg taught me how to make pancakes, and then I got to do breakfast. And then somehow I got roped into doing inventory, but that was great because I just like made tick marks on stuff and everyone left me alone.
Yeah, I used to do inventory for my dad.
That's I made at the same place Katie did inventory. I also was a breakfast cook. So yeah, I would make like the pancakes and omelets for people.
Did the eggs smell like wet dog?
It was like the packaged scrambled eggs, like just
wet
like the
dog.
Ew.
Not good. Bro. Not good.
No, thank you.
We would make those sweet potato pancakes. Oh.
Those were so good.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so good.
I bet if we ate them now, we'd be like, these are terrible.
Probably.
They were really good at the time.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, give me the fan story.
You ready for an oldie but goodie?
Oh God, what year?
2018.
Holy
October.
Louis was born that year.
Crazy.
My
town.
Gosh, that's insane.
Crazy. From Evan Schechter.
Thank you for the phonetic spelling.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Shaq.
That's how I beat Shaq. Hey guys, first of all, I love the podcast. You've created a wonderful community through this, whether you intended it or not. And I know I speak for all of us when I say I'm grateful.
Good Lord.
We're
starting out very kind.
I know.
We're grateful for you.
Truly. I wasn't much of a reader when I was growing up, so when the books were coming out, I had no intention of ever actually reading them, despite having an older sister who would read even the longest of these books in a single day. But I loved the movies. I watched them over and over again, and even had my first kiss while seeing Order of the Phoenix in theaters the summer after 7th grade. As I got older and all the movies had long since come out, the window of opportunity in my life to read the books seemed to be closed. I was always a little insecure about not being a reader, and usually whenever I felt like I was finally getting into reading, I would finish one book and then not have another book to pick up, so I would lose my momentum and stop reading again. One day I was looking for a solution to this problem, and I thought, hey, I may as well read the Harry Potter series, because once I finish reading one, there are 6 more to pick right up immediately. By the end of reading 7 enormous books straight, reading will be a habit. Since I had always heard people saying the movies were missing so much from the books, and I'm a goofball, when reading the first book, I would hashtag a discrepancy between the book and the movie after each chapter on Twitter. Example, chapter 10, hashtag Harry didn't open his Nimbus 2000 at the table.
Hmm.
That's awesome. It was a lot of fun, but after the first book, I decided it was way too much of a time commitment, and I wouldn't be able to fully take in everything that was going on if I focused too much on the movies while I read. To make a long story short, I fell in love. I started book one last December, 2016, as I was graduating college, and as of this past September, 2017, I finished reading the entire series for the 3rd time, including Cursed Child, although let's be honest, it can't be canon because Cedric would never do us like that.
But he does.
Oh no!
I currently have my girlfriend reading them for the first time. Nice. She's almost done with Order of the Phoenix and is loving it. Harry Potter is my favorite series. It helped me grow as a person, and it is my escape from reality. When Harry goes back to Hogwarts, I feel his elation because it means I'm also going back to Hogwarts.
Oh, that's good.
Evan.
That's good. Evan.
I love that.
Thank you.
This is from a while ago. How you doing?
Yeah. Are you still here?
Yeah. Did your girlfriend finish the series?
I got a girlfriend.
How many more times have you read the whole series? Have you dove into any other book series? Are you a Sarah J. Maas fan? Maas fan. I want to know all the things.
Yeah.
And thank you for your story.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being so patient before it was read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
for
up
real.
With that, Katie?
I don't know. Should I do another serious joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only if it's serious.
It's very serious. Okay. What does Padfoot eat?
Prongs.
No.
Prawns?
Yeah.
That came out weird, though.
Not funny at all. Pad food.
What?
Pad food?
Yeah, I told you some of these are terrible.
What does that mean?
Okay, I got a good one. Wait, can I read one more?
Yeah, redeem what, that, please.
What
that
kind of awful. Tiffany's laugh was way funnier than that.
No.
Couldn't get a breath out.
It should have been like pad thai. Oh, that's funny. What kind of pictures?
Write it in.
Okay.
Yeah, you should send in revisions. Like, email the publisher. Be dear, like, this is actually a better answer.
Unofficial Harry Potter joke. Some of them I'm just going to black out with a Sharpie and say, never like, bring these to light of day. This. What kind of pictures does Dobby take?
Elfies.
That's good. Like, I like that. I like that.
That's cute. If you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family. Tiffany's on Instagram and TikTok at tiffswish_flick. And that bingo we mentioned earlier actually happened because we mentioned Alana Banana, which means
but you heard her name as Lou. Yes. So if you were confused and were like, actually, no, you didn't talk about Alana. I also call her Lou.
So bingo went to Nikki, to Hufflepuff.
Boo.
Tiffany.
Sorry, Nikki. Oh, great man. Job.
I'm excited.
Oh, God. Oh my gosh. And the standings remain. Ravenclaw is in first, Gryffindor is in second, Hufflepuff is in third, and Slytherin is in fourth.
James is awake.
Oh no.
Maybe because you went
I couldn't breathe. Please awesome. Don't make fun of me.
It made my whole day.
Can I do a quick PSA before we end
yes,
the episode?
Please go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to put a small little trigger warning right here for talk of cancer, just because I know that that can be triggering for people. Mm-hmm. But I want to hype everyone up about making an appointment with your dermatologist or looking for a dermatologist who's accepting new patients. If you have never gone to a dermatologist before, because
you said dermatologist.
I know. You're right.
Never
I did.
Been to a dermatologist. Trying to hold it together.
I looked at you.
I know and that was the problem. This is serious, though.
It is.
It's yes. A dermatologist.
So everybody is supposed to go and get a skin check every year. I know that that is hard for a lot of people, but I just want to be your voice of reason to say go and do it. Because I had a spot on my forehead for a while now that I chalked up to just being like anxiety. Like, I am like an anxiety picker. If you are one of those, you know what I mean. I pick my cuticles. I, you know,
anything
that I can, I pick. It's dumb and you shouldn't do it, but I do. So there's like this spot on my forehead that I just assumed was me picking from anxiety because it just was the spot that like wouldn't heal. And then I was like, I'm getting all this scar tissue, it's getting bigger, and I like hated it. I got bangs because I wanted to cover it. Mm-hmm. And like I put it aside as, you know, being nothing but anxiety, and it was in fact skin cancer. I had a moment of courage to go and make an appointment, and I just like searched on Google dermatologist accepting new patients near me, and I made an appointment. I just like, as soon as I made it, I just like had a feeling. I was like, I think this is gonna not be good. And so I went, and the second the dermatologist saw it on my forehead, he said, that's a basal cell carcinoma. And I was just real quick, this is actually how the conversation went down. He said, so who told you to come in for that? And I said,
the internet.
Google. And he's like, oh, really? Well, what did Google tell you it is? And I was like, Google told me it's a basal cell carcinoma. And he's like, yeah, well, Google actually was right for once.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, dang.
Yeah.
So I have to get surgery in like March or April. It's called Mohs surgery, where they just basically like scrape all of the cancer cells away. It is definitely like one of the quote unquote best cancer diagnoses that you can get, if that's even a thing that exists. But
still scary.
It's one of the easiest to treat, I guess, is mm-hmm. a better way to put it. So like the good thing is I'm going to walk out of that Moe's surgery knowing that it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so just like do the thing, make the appointment, go and get it looked at. A cool little tidbit that he told me is after age 30, your body is not going to make any more moles. So any mole that pops up after age 30, you should be concerned about and get looked at.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Why is nobody
right?
telling
you that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like, your body stops making new moles after around age 30. So
Well, there you go, kids. Tell everybody you know.
Yep. And like, look up online what the ABCs of moles are. It tells you kind of like what to look for when you see a mole pop up. So yeah, just go do it, please. Thank you. And wear sunscreen, because basal cell carcinomas are a direct result of UV exposure. It's not anything to do with my genes. It's not anything, like, it's not random. It happened because of the sun, because of lifetime sun exposure. You know, like, I just wasn't diligent enough with, like, reapplying and all of that jazz. So, yeah. Go get it checked out and wear sunscreen on your face every day.
Mm-hmm.
At least 30 SPF is what he told me.
There's some really good, like...
Yeah, I'm going to have to get new face lotion. Mine's only 15.
I actually found a really good one at Target. The brand is called Derma E, and I used their face wash for a long time. It's really, really nice, and it feels nice on my face. It's not, like, super heavy, but it's 45 SPF, so I bought that for, like, myself to put on my face.
I'll try had the kind that make your, like, it makes your face feel hot and sweaty, but, like, we've tried two now.
That are good.
That are really good.
I don't know what the SPF is on the Millie Bobby Brown Florence line, but I do like the Florence face.
No, not that one.
Sunscreen.
That Neutrogena one.
And oh yeah, and the Neutrogena face.
Yeah.
Is also really nice. But yeah, highly recommend
it. So there are ones out there that don't feel like you're wearing a mud mask.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst.
Yeah.
So just go do the appointment.
Yep.
Go get it checked out. Make sure you're checking your moles.
This one's for your bravery.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Talk to my boys.
Bless you.
You hurt my hernia. She was like...
I didn't know what was happening.
Well, I wanted to warn you, and I'm probably going to have to do... I think the weather changing made me sneeze all day.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All I heard was... I
was like Voldemort.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.